sugya of Mashiach. Mashiach. Who is Mashiach? Mashiach. Who here is hiding as Mashiach? Michelle Zeth, who's Mashiach?
Zema.
Mashiach. Let's discuss about the yoni of the mitzvah to yearn for the coming of
Mashiach.
One second. Every day at the end of the evening, we have the Yud Gimel Animamins. The second to last Animamin is one of the 13 principles of Emunah Lefi the Rambam. Animamin beEmunah Shleima beVias HaMashiach, in the coming of Mashiach. The Af Al Pi SheYisma Mea, even though he tarries, Im Kol Zeh Achak Eloi, I still yearn B'Chol Yom SheYavoi. Now, before we start, there are a lot of things to discuss about the coming of Mashiach, but the first thing I want to tell you is that this Animamin has violated every rule they teach Mechanchim in the Haredi world. This is mamish, an outright violation. What do I mean by that? In the Haredi world, there's a principle not to teach matters of Emunah by asking questions. For young, this is the Haredi world. The Haredi world, this is true, and this makes a lot of sense for young children, because if you ask children questions, what is a technique in Emunah? A technique in teaching, Mr. Planet, what is a technique in teaching? It's very common to ask questions, to ask a really good question. And sometimes you tell the class, you know what, I have such a good question, I'm not going to tell you the answer, I want you to think about it. Tomorrow, let me hear what you have to say. And then you make the question even greater. And you open up the minds of the students to yearn for a good answer. And then finally, after a period of time, you tell them the answer. You have a good question on the Gemara. Rebbe's teaching a Daf Gemara. He asks them a question. I'm not telling you the answer. Go ask. You always have these stories with children. They come, they ask you questions, and the Rebbe asks them a question, and they want you to give them the answer, yet they have to go and ask their parents, drive everyone they know crazy for the answer. You ever have this story? You have nephews, grandchildren, they call you up and tell you, my Rebbe asked this question, and he asked us to find out the answer. Whoever gets the answer gets a reward. What? This is a technique. This is a technique because by having a child asking him a question, having him think about the question, having him run around to all of his relatives and ask them for the answer to the question, it opens up his mind to be receptive to hear the answer. And when he hears the answer, he'll remember it for the rest of his life. If the Rebbe will just say, this is the Yisoid, the Zehu, easy come, easy go, goes in one and goes out in the other. So this is very common. That's how you teach children. You teach children through She'ela Ushuva. The entire Gemara is built upon the principle of asking questions, giving answers. Shaka Vatarye. The Haggadah is Ma Nishtana Halayla Zeh. It's one of the principles of the way we recite the Haggadah with questions and answers. However, there's a very, very big but, and they warn Rebbeim, especially of little children, when it comes to Emunah, do not use this technique. Because more often than not, in matters of Emunah, the questions are better than the answers.
And they're not equipped.
And they're not, and the Rebbeim are not equipped. No one's equipped. There's no one equipped to answer the questions. If you're going to say to a child in third, in second grade or first grade, how could the Holocaust happen? There were such great tzaddikim yisadi olam. They never did naver in their life. There were communities, and you described to them in detail their righteousness. How could Hashem wipe them out, take them in cattle carts, and the Holocaust, and they were incinerated? Ask that to a child in first or second grade. Think about it. And he has nightmares. First of all, they'll fire you just for that, right? Nightmares. And then you come back, and the next day, you tell them, because we have Emunah. Emunah pshuta, who knows? There is no answer. So what happens? The child is left with the question, and they have the answer. And even if he'll give a very good answer, maybe the child is not yet on a level of sophistication.
I'm not sure any adults are either.
They're right. They're not. That's correct. Correct. So it's not necessarily a good technique. It doesn't mean you have to shy away. from dealing with the issues. You know, there are two approaches to emuna. We always discuss this. There's the approach of emuna pshuta, just emuna pshuta, and then there's the rational approach. If you go into any bookstore, any Judaica store, there are two sections of books on emuna. There's the inspirational stories, okay? The inspirational stories which pretty much work with the approach of emuna pshuta, and then there are the rational approaches. You try to prove scientifically the best that you can that this Ribbono Shel Olam, everything makes sense. Both of these approaches have major flaws. Okay, we all know that. But listen, you have to do something. You can't do nothing. Everyone has to work with what they have. Everyone needs a little chizuk. So you have to do the best that you can. And all emuna pretty much falls into these two approaches. Emuna pshuta approach or the rational approach. You have to deal with it. But dealing with children, we're all children to a certain degree, when you ask questions, she'elu tshuva, it's not the best approach. It's accepted among mechanchim, and the mechanchim, you read the chinuch, but I read it from Far Rockaway, how could I forget his name? Bender. Bender from Far Rockaway, he warns this. They write about this and says, this is not a derech for children. Emuna, you don't use this technique. You use this technique to teach Gemara, Mishnah, Chumash, not to teach Emuna. You don't want the questions to linger in the mind of a child. He's not going to be satisfied. It's not a healthy thing, okay? Everyone, of course, if Emuna, the children will overcome it, don't worry. But the Rambam violates this rule right here. Now, I don't know if it's the Rambam, it's not necessarily the Rambam. Who exactly wrote this? Who wrote this? First of all, who wrote this? The Rambam write this? Not Moch the Rambam wrote this. Not Moch who wrote this. These are the Rambam. The Rambam is the Rambam that has the Yud Gimel. We have three places. We have the Perusha Mishnayis. The Rambam only wrote the Perusha Mishnayis. This is a Sanat. And the Perusha Mishnayis, that's what the Rambam wrote. His the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Okay, in Masechet Sanhedrin, he wrote the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And there it's very different what he writes. Here, Ani Mamins are written by, I don't know who wrote it. We have to figure out who wrote it. And the third place you have the Ani Mamins is in Yigdal. In the Mizmar of Yigdal. Yigdal of Chai. So we have over here at the very end, Yishlach Liketz Hayomin Mishicheinu. Hashem will send the end of days, his anointed one, Liftos, to redeem Mechake Ketz, to redeem those who yearn. Okay, those who yearn for the Kates, for the end, his salvation. No questions asked. The one who wrote Yigdal, there's a lot of Torah, a lot of Svarim analyzing the Chilukim, the Diyukim, the Medayik, the differences between what the Rambam wrote in the Perush HaMishnayis versus what it says in the Ani Mamins, versus what it says in the Yigdal. There are major, major differences. Major differences. And there's something more to discuss in each one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And here, the
Yigdal
one.
Also has Yud Gimel Ikarim.
Yes, famously, Yigdal has all of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of Yigdal is to bring out the Yud Gimel Ikarim. It's a summary of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. I know there are some. It's a little bit controversial. Some people don't say Yigdal. They hold.
They
say Yigdal. It's controversial. Why is it controversial? I don't know. Who wrote it? Maybe some of the something with the diyukim, something that's not so. Listen, it's in the article. Sitter doesn't apologize. It's right here. Matoivu other olam yigdal. I hear. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not a halavai. I should say with kavana, but so this is the yigdal. It's dealt with. This over here, it's a very different nusach. Yishlach Hashem will send the kates hayamim mishichaynu liftos mechak those who yearn for the kates. His salvation. Here in the Ani Mamins, it's really problematic. He's asking a question. It's not a good idea to ask questions when it comes to Emuna. Ani Mam b'Emuna Shlom v'yasa Mashiach, period. We would have been very happy with that alone. Then it goes on. The Afal Pi Sheyismamea. I got a kasha. Should I really live Mashiach? It's now. Tav Shinayin Ches. It's been 1,948 years since the Chumash HaMikdash. It's a lot of time. 1,948 years. Wow. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. The Mashiach didn't come. All the tzaddikim, all the gedolei Yisrael, the Rishonim, the Achronim, it didn't come in their lifetime. It's going to come in my lifetime. There were people that were kedoshim utahorim, the tanoim amarayim, the older generations, the Holocaust generation, the Dial Kiddush Hashem. Where do we come to any of these people? We don't come near, anywhere near close to the righteousness of even the simplest people of these generations. And here, and so it's a tachal good kasha. You know something? We're so weak. It'd be better not to ask the kasha. Just say, ani mamin b'muna shalema v'yasa mashiach uv'chol yoyim achake eloy sheyavay. What would be so terrible? You wouldn't know the difference. It would fit very well. You would bring on every single theme. Over here in this ani mamin, there's something very, very unique. A question about emuna is presented. And like I told you, elementary school, in the Haredi yeshivas for sure, and I would imagine in any yeshiva, emunas, you don't go ask questions of emuna. It's a very simple concept. You don't take a first or second grader and ask them and give them a nightmare about the Holocaust, and then the next day tell them, I don't know why either. I can't explain it to you either. Okay, it's a foolish thing to go ask questions about it. But that's what we do. That's mamash what we do over here. We do it. We say, afal pi sheyismamea. You're asking the question. You're bringing out the issue. And then you're saying, there's no answer. There is no answer. You're right. It's a very, very good question. It has delayed. It has passed up tzadikim, gedolim, go'inim, people that are far, far greater than us. And nevertheless, achake lo b'chol yom sheyavay. This is a very good question. So what is the answer? I don't have a good answer. I just want to bring out this point. Yeah, what's the answer?
If you notice that right before the Yom Kippur, you have the Sheish or the
Zechiras.
And part of the Zechiras is, first one is Zechiras for Yisrael.
Okay.
The Zechiras of the Eagle you have there.
Okay.
Yeah, and the last Zechiras is the Zechiras of Yishmael. Did one of them ever be made?
Where are you Shalayim? What are you Shalayim? What are you talking about?
Ten
Zechiros. Ten Zechiros. What Siddur are you making up?
Okay. No, there are ten.
The Svardim add four. The reason we don't have four is because
we
only take the six that are in the
in the Torah. There are six.
There are another four that come from the
map. You say for the others who have.
This is a very shtayaka question. The only thing we have to say is as follows. The only thing that we can say is that For a mature adult, not a child, this rule I told you is a rule in Chinuch Habanim. Right? Bender writes it explicitly, and it makes so much sense, and I can't imagine anyone would disagree. But I guess the answer is, that's for children. It comes a point in time when you mature. Well, you're supposed to mature. You're supposed to become a sophisticated adult. And there is an advantage. It's a very dangerous game. It's a very dangerous game. To dwell upon the issues, and after you dwell upon the issues, you then acknowledge when everything is said and done, emuna pshuta. There are no answers. Maybe that's really what we're trying to do over here, is you have to come to acknowledge not everything in this world has an answer. You always have to come at the end of the day, Moshe asked Hashem, Tzadik viraloi, Rasha v'toivloi. I want to know why. Hareini no es kivaydecha. And what Hashem say to him? Moshe, there is no answer. V'ro'iso es achorai ufarnai lo yeru. That's, now, we don't want to hear that. That's a very painful thing. We don't want to hear that answer. But that's, Moshe was very sophisticated. He was ready to ask the question. He got the answer. There is no answer. At the end of davening, the very, very end, we have to acknowledge, maybe it's a healthy thing to walk away from davening, acknowledging, don't expect to have an answer to every single question. We don't just say, achake lo b'chol yom sheyavay, because then we're not acknowledging that we're not getting an answer. We want, at the end of davening, we want to ask a question, and we want to be answered, there is no answer to your question. Achake lo afi sheyismameya. That means, how could it be? It doesn't make any sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that we should be worthy from all the answers. They know where the end, and they just need a little bit more. There are a lot of answers. All the answers at the end of the day are not satisfying. There is no answer. Hashem, this is the way it is. And that does not hold us, does not detract from the requirement that we have in this world to have emuna Peshuta, despite all the questions.
Like I'm just saying it every day, every single day, gives you the amun of Peshuta. That intensifies the amun of Peshuta.
Okay, you were doing something that's different. We're definitely doing something that's different, and there's something to be understood why that's being done. Why it's an important idea to be aware of. Okay, two more short things I want to bring out. Number one is the Rambam. He has over here very the words around the Rambam says some very powerful words about the coming Mashiach, about the belief in Mashiach. First of all, he says, makes it very clear there, it's Tzvei Dinin, real Buddhist Rambam. There are two Dinin in Mashiach. Number one is Emuna in the coming of Mashiach. Number two, according to that, you should break it up into two parts. You have to yearn for Mashiach. It's one thing I believe. I believe the day will come when Mashiach will come. Do I want it to come? Do I want? I am a tzapeh. Am I machake that it should come? I don't know. Not necessarily. I know it's too much for me to deal with. What's going to be? I'm not such a deep thinker that I should want it to come. I believe it will come. There are two different points the Rambam makes. He writes, and maybe read some of the words. It's Ani Mamin Bemunashem B'Viyasam Mashiach, period. They don't put a period here in this thing. Really, there should be a period. That's number one, period. You believe Mashiach will come one day. The time will come when the Melech Mashiach will appear. Number two, there's another requirement, and that a person has an obligation to yearn for the coming of Mashiach. That's an avoida. That's a very hard thing to do when you don't even know what Mashiach is. We don't understand what we've lost and what's going to be. And even the Rambam himself says we don't know what's going to be. All we know is there's going to be a gilui shechina, ribbono shel olam will be near us, and we have an obligation. Now, let me read you the Rambam. The Rambam then goes on to say, very powerful words, if you don't believe in the coming of Mashiach, the Rambam says some very harsh things. Not only does it mean, are you a koifer in this concept, you're a koifer, you're a koifer in the belief of the Nevi'im. Not only are you a koifer in the Nevi'im, you're a koifer in Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only are you a koifer in Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a koifer in the Torah itself. Isn't that shocking? That the belief of Mashiach is built upon a foundation of believing in the Nevi'im, number one. Number two, believing in the Av Han, the father of all of the Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, believing in the Torah HaKadosha. And the all Tali Zebizeh, let me read you the words. I'm not making this up. Okay, let me find over here this chapter. Okay, Chumash Habayis. Second over here.
That's where you say all 13.
Exactly. That's the point I want to go make. Here it is. Okay. Let me read what it says over here. Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Aleph Halach Aleph Kasa Vezel Shoynei Hamelech Hamashiach Asa Lamoy Lahachzir Malchus David Liyoshna Lememshala Hari Shoynei Boyne Hamigdash Memekabes Tchay Yisrael Vechayshim Kol Hamish Potim Biyama Vechulu Vechulu. Now here he goes. Vechol Mi. She'enei ma'amin, boy, if you don't believe in Mashiach, oy mi she'enei mechake libi asoy, the second category, you do not yearn for his coming. Look what he writes here. Loy b'shar nevim bilvad hu koifer. Not only are you in denial of all of the nevim, the 48 nevim, ella, you're in denial b'toira uv'moshe rabbeinu. Sha'arei ha-Torah hi'idu olav shenemar in Parashas Balak. First, Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, V'shav ha-Hashem Elokecha shavuscha v'rachamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ho'amim v'chul goymer. Im yeh nidacha b'kseh ha-Hashem misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha misham yikochecha v'yaviach Hashem Elokecha la'aretz v'chulu. And these are also mentioned by Bilam. In Parashas Bilam it says there, it says, Erenu v'loyata. Ashurenu v'loikaroiv darach koychav biyakoiv v'kam shevet miyisrael v'chul v'chulu. There are psukim in all of the Chumash describing what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Some were said by Moshe, some were said by other Nevi'im, and it's an amazing thing that it comes out that this animamin, which is Yud Beis, is thus built upon how many animamins? Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud. Five animan. Well, I don't know about you, but let's. The first one is Yilvos animan b'mun shleima shekol divrei neviim ms zayin animan b'mun shleima b'shenivuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom hoysamitis v'shu haya avla neviim ulakayim ulafanav labav leacharav animan b'mun shleima shekol atorah hametziya ato v'yadenu kei the Torah he hanesuna l'Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. Okay, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu all of Hashalom. So we have over here next. Animam ibn Shlomo shezoy sator lotei muchlefes v'loy tehei Torah acheres meis haber yisparach shemoi. Okay, so we have over here four animamins. The one before it is that the Ribbono shel Olam. You only mispal to Hashem. Okay, that's not necessarily related. Basically, the Rabbi over here is saying is you do not believe in the coming of Mashiach. You don't believe in the other four animamins. The belief of Mashiach is built upon the foundation of the other four animamins. Okay, last what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with... Not every one of the Rishonim has the same 13 principles of faith. The Rambam is unique, and he holds that if you don't believe in one of these 13, you're a mamash or a kofer. There are many Rishonim that say there are no 13 principles of faith. There are 5, there are 6, there are 7, there are 3, there are 2, there are 1. I have a sefer actually goes through all the Rishonim. And if this one holds, there's only one principle. This one holds, there are 2. This one goes in order, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And a chanami, the Rambam is unique, and he holds, if you don't believe in these things, you're out of the box. But not everyone agrees to that. Not everyone agrees that every single one of these things is essential to being called a Jew. You're still called a Jew.
The concept of wishing for Mashiach is so far distant from the reality.
It is, because we don't know what it is. We have no clue what it is. That's why it's so hard.
You say that you believe in it, but it's so far removed.
It's very hard. It's very, very hard. No kidding. I'm with you 100%. It's very hard. Now, I want to just conclude with one last line, one last word. I want to ask you what this means. The Kinois on Tisha B'Av, in T and Kinoches, to the very beginning of the Kinois, we say the words, Ayu Masi, my nation. Bechol Shana, every single year they say Oimeres, they say He Hashana Hazos. They say, this is the year Mashiach will come. Shana Babi Shalom. My word is this is over here the difference. When you come at the Seder, you say Lashana Haba next year. I know there's a grammar drasha, but it already came, but let's learn Pashav Shah. Lashon Haba, next year in Yerushalayim. When after Tisha B'Av, after Yom Kippur, Lashon Haba. On Tisha B'Av, what do you say? Ayimasi b'chol Lashon Haimeres hi Hashana Hazois. This year, not next year. What's the pshat? Why is it when on Tisha B'Av you say this year, and after the Seder, and after Yom Kippur, you say next year? My high. The answer is, after the Seder, the good meal, in a good meal, delicious, good food, you're sitting around the table with your family, Gan Eden, Nachas, Gan Eden, delicious food, my family, in good company, I'm going to go to sleep now, have a good shluff, Mashiach. Don't bother me, don't ruin the fun. We just had 4 good cups of wine, a delicious meal, and nachas for my kinderlach, my grandchildren. I'm going to sleep. Shiach. Next year. Not now. Next year. Yom Kippur. You had a good davening. I know at home I have a delicious meal waiting for me. It's going to be Sukkot in 4 days. My family is coming. The weather is gevaldik. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Shiach. No. Don't ruin the fun. Next year. Lashana Haba, on Tisha B'Av, you're sitting on the floor. It's very uncomfortable. It's very hot. You're hungry. It's torture to go sit through the kinnis. Mashiach, get me out of here. Lashana Hazois. There's a difference of attitude. Okay,
What's the real answer?
Okay, the real answer. So some say Lashana Haba really means the year that already has come.
Yeah.
There's a grammatical answer. Lashana haba doesn't mean next year. It means the year that it already has arrived, which means really this year. It means saying, it really means the same thing. But I want to say a more serious part. And that is, what is this doing in the kina? The kina l'chayra, all of the lines of this particular kina is describing frustration, tsar. It's describing pain. Okay, every go through every though a tofel esamachakim lamovis. I attach myself to those who yearn for death. Enhen mi gever yichyev lo yir mamet. All these expressions are very tragic expressions. What is this line doing here? Ayumasi b'chol shana imeres hi hashana hazois. Doesn't seem to fit in. The answer is as follows. Take note that when we daven from the Shiach and the Nusach HaTzfil, look at the vocabulary that we use. At the in the Ani Mamu, what do we say? Afal pi sheyisma me'im kol ze achake loy. What is the word achake loy? I yearn. I don't know the exact translation, but there's no question the word achake carries with it passion. I yearn. I yearn for it to come. In Shemona Esrei, how are we misfollow from Mashiach? Ki lishu oscha kivisi. Kivisi. Kivinu. Kivinu. Kivinu kol hayom. Kivinu. We yearn. What does it mean, kivinu? I don't know exactly. It means we yearn, but it has a flavor of emotion, passion, concentration, desire. The heart is with the program. When a person comes to Shemach HaMeyav Yeshem, what do they say to him? Tzipisu Yeshua. Did you yearn? Were you mitzapeh? Mitzapeh for salvation, which means that you yearn for the coming of Mashiach. Tzipisu Yeshua. It means that you yearn. They're going to ask us this question in Shemayim, Machameh Veshem. Tzipisu Yeshua. The word tzipisa, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't just mean lip service. It means tzipisa, Lashon Tzafun, what's hidden. It has a connotation, a flavor. You gotta shake yourself up to yearn. So look at that. I just gave you three examples. Three examples in how we relate to Mashiach. Tzipisa, achakeloi, and kivinu. Kivinu. Each one of those three words is packed with flavor and meaning and expression and emotion and passion. You know what this is doing in the kinnis? This expression? This is one of the biggest tsaros of the whole kinnis, this line. Ayumasi b'chol shana, my nation, every single year, oimeres. The word oimeres is the most boring word you can possibly use in relation to your desire for Mashiach. Oimeres, they say, ki hashan hazois, this year Mashiach is coming. They say it. Amira. Amira, lip service. They don't mitzape hi hashan hazois. Mechake hi hashan hazois. Kivinu shetehe hashan hazois. That's the tsara that we mourn over. The tsara of the kina is that Klal Yisrael, we acknowledge, we don't even care. We're not interested. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to know from it. And this, that we're all Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. We sing these songs and we talk about Mashiach. It's just lip service. Oimeres hi hashan hazos. Instead of the words that Chazal have given us to use in relation to the coming of Mashiach. Being mitzape, being mechake, and kivinu. These are the words, not these words over here. Have a wonderful day.
גדל ומקדש מרבו וחלמוד ורוח ירותיה ומחנתי וסבחונים ורבים שווה ביכון ויום יכון ויכון בית